Hey, everyone. This is In the Word Podcast with Will and Marie. I'm Will.
And I'm Marie.
And welcome to episode 274. We're going to talk about grace and works again, because grace is such an important part of the of our salvation. You know, religion says if you work, God will repay you.
Okay.
But grace says if you trust Him, God will give you even more.
Right.
You know, God, I mean, I don't think that God owes us anything, you know. I mean, whether we are religious or we feel like we keep the rules, we're, you know, according to Ephesians 2:8-9, we're saved by grace.
Yeah.
You know, we're saved by grace and we through faith, right?
Yeah.
We're saved.
God owes us nothing.
Right.
But He has promised us everything if we obey Him. You know,
exactly.
Yeah.
So it's a bad attitude to think that we make any kind of sacrifices for God that obligates God to have to pay us back. You know, I think anything we do for God is not a sacrifice. I think it's an investment.
Right.
You know,
and you know, looking at what's this, Matthew 19:29 mm-hmm. or whatever, it says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or farmers or mother, or even mothers is on there. Oh, my.
Right.
Or
yeah.
Children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think in one version it says 100-fold, but I think that's basically just code for an innumerable amount. Unlimited amount in return. Like, and it says, and on top of that, it says, and will receive eternal life.
Yes.
I mean, yes. It's like, okay, what can you add? What can you add to eternal life?
Wow.
That would even be worthy. You know, what else would you need if you had eternal life? Unless your eternal life was a bad life, but it obviously is not going to be a bad life.
Right.
But it's like, what else would we need if we had eternal life? And the Lord says in
Matthew 19:29.
So He says, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much. And I love that, you know, and will inherit eternal life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, God does, you know, basically what I like to quote Ephesians 3:20. God does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think.
Right.
You know.
But then He goes on to verse 20, says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first. Explain that a little more.
Yeah, that's the proverb that we talked about last time in our podcast. And I think that, you know, this podcast, I mean, this I'll call it a proverb, this saying, the first will be last and the last will be first, it kind of bookends this particular parable about the laborers in the vineyard. It's at the very beginning, because it's in 19, verse 30, and then it's at the very end, Matthew 20, verse 16. So it's like Jesus repeated it. And I think whenever you see repetition, that suggests importance. It's like when Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, you know, or hear this, or listen up, or be warned. I think that being first may represent people that think they're religiously superior or long-term believers that may think they have some sort of seniority or rite of passage over perhaps newcomers or sinners that might have come to Christ recently.
Okay.
So if you've been saved for 20 years and somebody else have been saved for 20 days, you may feel like there is nothing they can tell you and that you're better than them. You're greater than them. You know, we used to have an old saying in the church that people say, I've been in the way for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And people say, yeah, you've been that
in the way.
Right. Yes. So it's like, what have you done? What are you doing? How are you being productive? And I think we mentioned that in the last podcast, that it's not about it's not about the quantity of work. It's about the quality of work. It's not about seniority. It's about attitude, having the right attitude and accomplishing what God wants. So I think that's what the first and last is referring to. I think it's referring to people that it's more about a person's attitude. Okay. You can be saved a long time, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and have a good attitude, an attitude of humility,
right.
An attitude of compassion, an attitude of patience, right. And of servanthood. Yeah. You know, you don't have to be, you know, old and fogey because right. You've been saved a long time.
Right. And look, and verse 29 is, that's great sacrifices that they're mentioning on that, in that verse.
Yeah.
I mean, father, oh, mother, yeah. You know, I mean, right. It's just like they have surrendered all, it seems like. To but, the Lord, don't
but,
you think?
Yeah, but and Peter said that, and I think Peter erred in making that statement because it was like, "Are you kidding me?" Because what preceded that verse there was really verse 27, when Peter came to Jesus with this question. He said, "Behold, we have left everything. And followed you. What then will be there for us?" Let me put that in modern language. We didn't give up everything. What's in it for us? What do we get out of this? In other words, if we serve you, Lord, if we follow you, what do we get?
Right.
And that's not a good thing to ask the Lord.
Exactly.
you're essentially negotiating a contract. You're trying to leverage your service and your sacrifice, so to speak, for something in return.
Wow.
And, you know, that's, you can't win by doing that.
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you think about Peter's statement? I mean, he said, we've given up everything.
Yeah, I mean.
What do you think about that?
That is like, he's weighing,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe I don't know.
He's negotiating.
Yeah, he's negotiating. And
with
he
the
says,
Lord.
Oh, Lord, we gave you everything.
Right.
So what made him think that way?
You got to hook us up.
Yeah, yes.
We didn't walk away from our businesses.
Yeah,
our family,
kids.
We threw our nets back. We stopped our jobs.
Did he do that because he knew and understood what was in store if he had made all those sacrifices? Or
you mean, did Peter do that?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't really think so, in my humble opinion. I mean, I don't think Peter knew. I believe that Peter felt like most Jews, that here's the Messiah. He will deliver us from Roman occupation.
Hmm.
He'll deliver us from Roman rule. They'll get our overlords, our tax burdens removed. And I think Peter was looking. I think most of the disciples
were
looking at Jesus as the Redeemer from Rome.
Not spiritual.
Exactly. I think they had the same attitude as most Jews of the day, that the Messiah would deliver them from physical bondage.
Okay, that makes sense to me. In my head, that makes sense.
And it's further evidenced by, remember, the sons of thunders somehow coerced their mother to come to Jesus and say, hey, will you allow my sons and your kingdom to serve on your left hand, on your right hand? And the Lord said, you don't know what you're asking
for.
You know, can they drink the cup that I'm drinking?
That's a little better to understand when you think about it. It's not necessarily a spiritual thing. It's what this person is expecting. Their life should, you know, their reward should be for giving up all they had.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
I feel like even if we did give up on it, I'm not so sure that we all do.
Right.
give up all that Jesus is saying here in Matthew 19. But even if someone were to be able to boast that, you know, I'm thinking of Allah, the rich young ruler who said, Lord, I've kept all these things from my youth up. You know, what lack I yet? No, you really haven't.
You're still lacking.
You're still lacking. But even as, let's just say that the dude had been successful and he had given up all of that and been obedient to all of that. We're still in debt to the Lord.
Exactly. I was going to say that.
Yeah, it still wouldn't have justified or allowed us to earn or merit salvation.
Yeah, it doesn't compare.
Doesn't compare.
Yeah.
Doesn't compare.
To what
Absolutely.
God has for us in store.
That's right. That's yeah. right. So beautiful that's, lesson. We may talk about this some more. Nick, what were you going to say?
No, it just enlightened me a little more. I had thought yeah. about it. I was trying to figure out, now, how does that work?
Right.
So, yeah, I understand a lot better.
Yeah, I understand a lot better, too, by harmonizing these scriptures and just looking at, you know, what things the Lord does. That it, yeah. you may come to the Lord late in life. I'm speaking to those of you that might have become a believer in the later seasons of your life, as a senior citizen, as a retired person. But I want you to know that your reward is no less than a person that came to the Lord as a young person. I'm thinking in my mind of Samuel when he came to the Lord. The Lord called him. Hannah gave him to the Lord's work, yes. Eli, at a very young age, yes. right after she had finished weaning him.
Right.
And, you know, according to 1 Samuel, he seemed to have served the Lord and been in the service of the Lord literally his entire life. Yes. And then you go to Luke 23 and you look at the thief on the cross who just hours before he died was just, you know, railing and cursing and belittling and mocking Jesus. And he came to his senses somehow during that 6-hour period or
right,
whatever.
Right.
And he said, Lord, will you remember me when you come in your kingdom? And that's when the Lord made those famous words, yeah. today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So here's basically what is the equivalent of a deathbed confession.
Yeah.
And you have Samuel, who had been saved his entire life virtually from an infant, a toddler. And they both get the same reward.
Yeah.
They both get eternal life. Eternal life is eternal life. You can't increase eternal right. life. There, that it's already eternal. How right. much more? It's not like, right. okay, Samuel.
It's
okay,
not like this extra eternal.
Right. I'm going to kick on another 100 years for you, dude, because right. you started. So no. Eternal right. life is eternal life.
Wow.
So what a blessing. I love it.
What a blessing for the thief on the cross. That's talking amazing.
And I'm not advocating for those of you listening. I'm not advocating that you roll the dice and try to make a deathbed confession.
Right.
You don't know if it's going to be like that.
Exactly.
You know, you may die instantly, like the rich man that said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build up bigger barns.
Yes.
And the Bible says, the Lord said, thou fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Now who's going to enjoy all of your wealth? So it's not a good idea to bank on being able to make an 11th hour confession like the thief on the cross. But we should know that God's grace is sufficient.
Yes.
And for those that are in that position, God will and is available to save them, even at the 11th hour.
Yes. Yeah.
I would recommend getting saved now.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
You know, don't put it off.
Don't put it off.
Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Amen.